Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Chill Pill, the place where you can just sit back and relax. Today, we're going to interrogate a stunt guy, and who better than that than David Maddie, an experienced stuntman who has been in the industry for over 18 years and has worked on some projects such as Hancock, Get Smart, Thor, and much more. David, can I call you David or is there a nickname?
Well, everyone calls me Big Dave.
I understand that just by looking at you, but I don't think the audience knows. You're 6'10", right?
I am 6'10".
Yeah, that's the only reason why.
That's it.
Yeah, so yeah. I'll call you Big Dave for the rest of the interview.
That's cool.
All right. And are you ready to talk about stress pertaining to the stunt industry?
Certainly.
Okay, let's get right into it. So I want to start off by getting to know why you decided to get into the stunt industry. So, like, what made you want to become a stuntman?
Well, I was originally in the acting industry. I got into acting as part of the entertainment industry first. And then because of my look and my size, I always played bad guys. So that led to me having to fight the good guy. And I have a martial arts background. So they asked if I could fight, and I could. And then I had to lose. And they said, can you fall down? And I could. And that led to falling down off of something, and that's how I got into stunts. So it was a very sort of organic transition from just being a big ugly actor into being a big ugly stunt guy.
So it just felt natural, you know, just because of the look that you had.
Yeah, absolutely.
What were you doing before? Because I know you have a degree in engineering.
Three, actually, yeah.
So what made you want to go from being an engineer to entering the stunt industry?
It was a result of where I was working. When I started there, it was very, it felt like a great big family. And then after the course, over the course of about 6 years or so, it became very corporate. And I was doing really, really long hours, and I decided to take a class at night as a reason to leave work at a reasonable time. And my cousin was in New York. He's a commercial actor. And I said, I'll take an acting class. And 6 months later, I said, that's what I'm going to do. And that led to acting, and then acting led to the stunts.
You needed something that was a little bit more exhilarating, huh?
It definitely helped, yeah.
Yeah. Was it like, what was the company you were working for in?
It was called Rollies. We did stuff for the window covering industry.
Okay.
And you can look around at all sorts of windows, especially here in California. You can see things that came out of my brain in a lot of windows around here.
Really?
Yes.
Like what particular design?
There's a roller shade that is used everywhere. And it's something that's been around for a really, really long time now. And the bad part about it is when you patent something, when you do something that gets patented and you're working for a company, that company has the rights to that patent. So and the bad part is they get to set, they're required by law to pay something for the rights to use the patent, but they get to set what that price is.
Mm.
So for this item that ended up making the company a whole lot of money, like I think 9 figures the first year alone, I got a $1 patent fee. And then because there were multiple divisions in the company and they were using one to get rid of basically a tax dodge, for Christmas we got a $1.29 coffee mug. So for a product that made them many, many millions of dollars over many years, I got $2.29 in cash and prizes.
And you're unsatisfied with that result?
It could have been better, but yeah.
Could have been a $4.
Yeah, mug. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's just switch back to the stunt industry. So when you were becoming a stuntman, getting like completely involved with that, what challenges did you find yourself having to overcome?
My size is both an advantage and disadvantage. You know, when you're my size, I'm too big for a bunch of parts, even when they're looking for a big guy. And that's a continual issue. I was just recently contacted about a job, and they were looking for somebody at least 6'4", is what casting said. And the coordinator submitted my stuff, and they came back and said, oh, he's too big. So, you know, at least 6'4". I'm definitely at least 6'4". But there's often this upper limit, so... and a lot of times, you know, that's the big one is that I'm too big for stuff, but when they need a big, big guy, then it's me and three of my friends. So, the pool is a lot smaller.
So you feel like the size has a lot to do with the amount of work that you're getting and the type of jobs you're getting.
Yeah, more types of jobs. I mean, as you progress in the stunt industry, it's the connections you make with people. That's how you get your work most of the time. So
yeah, networking, a lot of networking.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that keeps me busy.
All right. You're a fairly massive guy.
Fairly,
just ever so slightly.
Yes.
Even though you look like you would kill anyone and anything in your sight, has there been a time or multiple times where you were afraid to do a stunt and had second thoughts?
Yeah, there's a difference between, you know, like if I bounced as a burger flipping job shortly after I moved out here, and there's a big difference between like actual real life fighting and fighting for TV and the movies. It's a totally different thing. The biggest part of that is that the people you're fighting are generally your friends, if you're fighting other stunt people. And so my size, that part doesn't really come into the equation of, if something is something that bothers me, you know, that I'm nervous about or whatever. And there have been a couple of times where, a lot of times what's the scariest thing is the unknown. And so there are times when you get a job and a coordinator call and ask for your availability on a certain date, and then he'll call you back and say, hey, you got the gig? You say, great. You have no idea what you're doing.
Really?
None at all. You go there, you have no idea what's going on. And that was the case with Thor, actually. I got a call on a Friday night, and they said, can you come into a fight rehearsal tomorrow? And I said, sure. And I went in Saturday morning, and there were a handful of us there, and everyone kind of looked at each other and said, you know what we're doing? Nobody had a clue. We didn't know the name of the project. We didn't know what it was. We just knew it was a fight rehearsal.
Well, at least you're on the same page as everybody else. It's not like right. You're just, you know, the only one who has no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So that could help.
Yeah. And then we found out late that day that, oh, it was Thor, and we were on it for 4 months or so. But there are times when you go into it, and you go into a project, and you have no idea what you're doing. And so before you find out what you're doing, that's always a very specific type of stress, because you're just like, what do they want?
Yeah, you're just kind of waiting to see.
Yeah. Is it something that's in my skill set? I hope so. If it is, if it's a fight, no problem. If it's, you know, I do a lot of wire work, especially for somebody my size. So if it's a wire thing, no problem at all. But if it's something that I'm not, you know, super adept at, or, you know, it's not a specialty, then you could, you know, there's this moment where you're like, can somebody tell me what I'm going to do before, you know? So that's probably the worst part. And then once you find out what you're doing, then it's, you know, then that's a different type of stress, you know?
Do you feel like looks, like what a coordinator is looking for, or just like a casting director, do you feel like they are looking for stuff based on just the looks first, and then it comes the skills, or
it's very dependent on the job, okay. Especially on the stunt side. Usually, what'll happen is a coordinator will pick a bunch of people who he knows have the skill set that he needs. So if he was looking for a big guy who was an expert driver, and he called me, he would ask about, hey, how's your driving? And I'd tell him, you know, well, basic stuff, I'm fine, but if you want the advanced stuff, I'm not your guy. And the reason behind that is I don't fit in most cars. So I don't have a lot of experience doing the driving. And in most cases, when you're doing driving anyway, you don't need to, you know, you could put a different person in that car and make them look like they're huge, yeah, or whatever, or big enough. So the coordinator will generally get the skill set side of it established first. And then he'll say, okay, these are my five people. And then he'll send those five people to casting. And then if casting, you know, if you need to say a line or whatever, casting may call you in, you do a little audition, or yeah, the director may just pick and say, that's the look I want. And the coordinator's already provided them. These are the people that are going to be able to do the thing physically. So, they handle that part first.
All right. Now you said that, that one of the stresses, is waiting, mm-hmm, to figure out what you're exactly doing with the role.
Yes.
Are there any other stresses that stuntmen and women go through?
Well, there's a whole bunch of physical stresses. I mean, being prepared for what you're doing, training, you know, gaining experience doing stuff, and then you always end up with bumps and bruises, and you know, we try to minimize that, but it's a rarity to be 100% all the time. So there's like the physical side of it. There's physical stress that you're dealing with. But usually once you go through a rehearsal or two, that stuff kind of fades out and you're focused on, you know, the task at hand. And then the weird thing about it is, the most stressful thing is when you're not doing a stunt in a scene where there's a stunt happening. So if there's two people and I'm just standing there and you're getting ratcheted 30 feet in the air, it's stressful to me because I have to make sure I don't mess up what I have to do, even if it's just standing there and reacting appropriately. Because if I mess it up, then you got to do your stunt again. Mm-hmm. And that's a really terrible thing. So, and I've talked to other stunt people about that. I'm not alone in that. That is the worst. That's like the most stressful thing when you're actually rolling, is to not be the one doing the stunt.
Do you have like an example of that?
Well, when I was on Hancock, there was a time.
That's exactly what I wanted you to say.
there was a bit where Will Smith is in a hospital bed and he rolls out of the bed and throws it, and the bed hits me and knocks me across the room. And there's one other guy in the scene, and all he has to do is fall down. And what I was doing was I had a wire that went around my waist to my right hip. It went around my left side to my right hip. And when they fired off this device called a ratchet, which is a hydraulic cylinder that yanks you, it pulls on the line, and it spun me around 180 degrees in the air, pulled me through the air, and then I landed face down on the ground and slid. And I probably went 20, 25 feet in the air and about another 25 feet on the ground. And at the end of that slide, I hit.
It's all right.
There was a stunt guy who was about 220 pounds who was sitting in an electric wheelchair. And I slid into the side of the chair and moved him and the chair about 4.5 feet sideways.
It's one thing to say all this stuff, but it's another thing to just completely see it in person.
Exactly.
That is just, I won't even know it.
Yeah, so it was a big hit. That's the point. It's like I flew through the air really far, smacked into the ground, and then slid really far with a lot of velocity. And when it was over, turns out the other guy, who all he had to do was fall down, he had somehow messed that up. And there were a bunch of experienced stunt people where I landed, and they all looked at me, and they said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah." And then they all glared at the other guy, and I could tell right away that something had gone wrong, and I was going to have to do it again. And the guy who had to fall down messed up that part. And as a result, I had to do that whole thing all over again. Fly through the air, slam into the ground, slide across it.
Is that one of like the difficulties of being a stuntman is having to do the same stunt over and over again and the exact same way?
Yeah, it's not always the same. It's not always the repeatability of the action that's the issue. It's the fact that if you do something like that, it hurts. And the first time you can psych yourself up and be like, "Yeah, here we go." And then the second time you're like, "Okay, we're going to do it again." And your body goes, no, that hurt a lot. We don't want to do that again. Mm. And so the real tough part is, you know, there's a lot of tough guys who are like, "Oh, I could be a stunt guy. I could crash through a door." It's like, yeah, it's not the one time through the door. It's the four times through the door, the six times through the door. That's the trick. So that's the big part of it, is the repeatability of the action that sucked the first time.
So how do you overcome that? How do you overcome that, like, all right, I know I got to do it, but let's just do it?
We just call it cowboying up. you know it's going to hurt, and you just do it.
So it's just something you got to face.
Yep, just mind over matter, and, you know, you just... You know, what I do personally is I start focusing on the technical stuff that I know I'm good at. And I'm making sure that I'm doing everything correctly. Mm. So in the case when you're getting yanked by a wire, you know, you're making sure you're leaning into the wire the right way. You're making sure that everything is as ideal as it possibly can be to minimize the amount of possibility of getting hurt in some way. So I start focusing on that when my brain's, you know, when my body starts going, "Ow, that hurt." So.
All right. Now, would you say that if you aren't SAG, which in other terms is called the Screen Actors Guild, then you're pretty much screwed in terms of the amount of work you're able to obtain?
Yeah, that's you know, that's it's true of a lot of things that if you're talking about stunt specific things, you definitely want to be SAG, and it's because everyone who is in SAG who is working as a stunt person is got a certain level of experience, and so there's a level of safety that sort of comes with that inherently. But everyone has to start somewhere. And so you're not going to be born SAG, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but there are a lot of different ways that you could become SAG. And so you may not be able to work, but you can work on your skill set. So you can work on your tools and then and your networking. And so eventually at some point you're going to get to a spot where a coordinator is going to go, hey, I got this stupid little job. It's nothing that's going to help your reel, but I need somebody to come in and, you know, run across in front of a truck or, you know, dive off a sidewalk, and that'll get you your SAG card. So, but having those good networking and the good skill set makes that something that a coordinator feels comfortable doing. And I mean, you know, coordinators are, you know, when I'm coordinating and other people that are coordinators all the time, you know, their main job is it's a business, and they're in the business of keeping people safe. So even if a coordinator has the opportunity to, you know, hand out a job to somebody, a good coordinator won't just randomly give it to somebody who is potentially unsafe if they don't know them. So making sure you've got the skills and the network connections is the work you can be doing when you don't actually have regular, real SAG stunt work to do.
And the network stuff just is like a reassurance for like coordinators, like to trust you.
Trust is monumental in the stunt industry. You know, I've said in the past that, you know, there are times when you meet somebody and within 30 seconds your life is literally in their hands in the stunt world, and you have to be able to trust quickly. And so when somebody is involved who is not trustworthy for whatever reason, they've, you know, lied about their resume or lied about their skills or whatever, that word gets around to the industry instantly, because you need to be able to trust people in a very short period of time. So the amount of time somebody normally spends saying hello to, you know, the makeup artist who's just gonna put a little bit of makeup on them, in the stunt side of the industry, that's the same amount of time you have to meet somebody and trust them and potentially literally put your life in their hands.
Do you remember the first stunt job that you ever did?
Let's see, I get hit in the head a lot, so memory is... let's see, things blur together in terms of timeline as far as when certain things happened.
Or not even like the first, let's see, like one of the first, mm-hmm. one of the first.
Yeah, there's quite a few. In, you know, on this topic, I did Angel a long, long time ago, and I met three guys. It was about a minute and a half, I think, before I was jumping off a balcony, and I was on a wire that they were holding. So they were keeping me from slamming into the ground. And I met them for the first time as they were hooking me up to the wires. And
what'd you say to them? Hey, I'm Big Dave. Nice to meet you.
Pretty much.
Let's do this.
Yep. And they all introduced themselves, and I was like, all right, let's do what we got to do. And about a minute and a half later...
That just seems way too casual for what it is, though.
Well, that's the whole point. It's like, they wouldn't have been there. Like, the reason I felt okay with that was because I had met the stunt coordinator before, and, you know, before he hired me for the job, we'd met, and we'd talked about stuff, and I felt like... And I had talked to other people that I knew about the coordinator, and they were all like, oh, he's a great dude, yeah, he's really nice, he's a good guy, and he's really safe. So I felt comfortable with him, and he's the one who hired them. So he hired those other people, and so it was like, well, the nature of this business is I trust him, he trusts them, therefore I can trust them. And so because of that connection, I was able to go, all right, let's... The last thing I was worried about was those three guys, because I knew that they would do whatever they had to do to keep me safe.
So were you nervous during the stunt, or?
No, no, I wasn't. You know, it was there was the worst part about that particular stunt was I had to stand on the railing of the balcony before I jumped off of it, and there was it was not the most secure railing ever, and one of the extras who was in the scene, a couple people had to stand up and run away, and every time he stood up, he grabbed the railing to pull himself up, and I'm balanced on this thing. You know, I'm wearing dress shoes, so there's slick bottom shoes on top of this wooden railing. And that was the worst part about it. That was the only thing I was nervous about, was going before anybody was ready for me to go. Mm. But then the actual jumping off part of it was the fun part.
Let's talk about choreographed fight scenes real quick.
Okay.
So when in a choreographed fight scene, and you're given the appearance of hitting the other person, have you ever accidentally hit a person or even have been hit?
I have. I've made contact with people only a couple of times. There was a job that I had a long, long time ago where one of my eyes was covered completely, and so I had no depth perception. So before every fight, I would reach out and touch the other person's nose, which, if you didn't know why I was doing it was very disturbing. but it was just so I was like, okay, that's where I think you are. And I would touch the tip of their nose and go, okay, now I'm sure of your distance. But I've been tagged before, sometimes by stunt people, sometimes by people who aren't stunt people who are put in a situation where, like, well, you're an actor. All you got to do is throw a punch. That's easy. Mm-hmm. But it's not always easy for people to miss. And so there have been several times where I've been tagged. One time by a gun. I was doing the show Supernatural up in Canada, and there was a scene where this guy is supposed to... His character thinks my character killed his wife, and my character was a mentally challenged guy, and he basically has to push me out of this this building and then knock me to my knees and then hit me with the butt of his gun and knock me out, and then I wake up, and he's got me chained to his truck, and he drags me to death. So the guy who was playing the part, he didn't have to speak, so he was an extra, and they were like, well, he doesn't really have to do anything, so he doesn't need to be a stunt guy. So I was talking him through making it look more realistic with each take, and we were getting better and better and improving, and the third take, we came out, and he's shoving me, and I'm telling him, you know, I'm doing the ventriloquist thing without moving my mouth, and telling him, attaboy, you know, just keep trying to keep him amped up so it looks really good. And we get to the part, and he hits me in the back of the leg, and I drop down to my knees, and it's all great. And I'm just like, yeah, and I hit the ground, and I turn back up to look at the gun coming in, and I can tell as he's coming in that it's in the wrong place. He's aiming off. So instead of the gun coming in front of my face and missing me, and then me reacting to that as though he hit me, mm-hmm. he instead cracked me right in the face with the butt of the gun. Now, the good part is I was already rolling with it because I was reacting. You know, I would have been doing the same motion if he hit me or not. But he popped me with this thing. And, you know, I dropped to the ground like I was supposed to. Mm-hmm. They called cut. And several of the crew were like, did he get him in the shoulder? The coordinator was like, no. And I sat up and I had this gun butt print on the side of my face where he hit me. Mm-hmm. This big oval. And the entire crew went, oh! And I turned to look at the guy and he was gone. He just disappeared. And what had happened was as soon as he made contact with me, he basically turned and ran because he thought I would just stand up and eat him.
Yeah, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's smart, but I'm a nice guy. And if you actually watch that, and of course, that is the shot they used because it looks the most like he hit me in the face because he actually hit me in the face. Mm. But if you take that shot and if you go frame by frame, it's really hysterical because he comes in, he's got this great vicious look, and as he comes down with a gun, he's like, rawr! And then he hits me, and in the last couple of frames before they cut, they used every frame they could use, but the last couple of frames, you just see his face go from rawr! To, oh, he's gonna kill me, and his eyes get really wide, and they cut out of it, but his face is just fantastic in those last couple of frames, and then he turned and ran away, evidently. But that's one of those things that you learn in the industry is like if you accidentally get tagged or tag somebody, it's more the person who's doing the tagging who is prone to stop, you know, to stopping and going, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm. You learn in the industry as you do it that if you accidentally tag somebody, you just roll with it. You just keep going.
Mm.
And because that's the shot they're going to use. And if you stop and break character, then you're going to have to do it all over again. And you're basically blowing the shot. So there have been times where we've been in the middle of a fight, especially if it's in like the background of a bar or something, and something's going on, there's a lot of people fighting, and you're not the focus. You'll hear people, all of a sudden you hear, oh, sorry, geez, I owe you a beer, like in the middle of, right yeah. in the middle of the fight, you know. But you keep going. You got to
keep going with it.
Yep.
All right, well, we're unfortunately out of some time.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. But thank you so much for coming out.
My pleasure.
Coming
Thanks
up to
the
beautiful
me.
Pierce College campus.
Yes, indeed.
To talk about the stunt industry and, you know, some stresses that a lot of stunt people go through in their job that's kind of overlooked.
Yes.
So thank you for informing us all about that.
My pleasure.
All right, guys. I am your host, Ashton Cox, and this was The Chill Pill, the place where you could just sit back and relax. Stay classy.